The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. I'm happy again to have the honor and privilege of filling in for Pastor Meyer while he's on leave. And it's a great joy for me to be able to do it. And I appreciate the opportunity. Where is God when trouble comes? Is he asleep? Does he know what is happening? Does he care? That's what the disciples wanted to know when they got caught in that terrible storm one night while crossing the Sea of Galilee in their boat. The storm was, no doubt, one of the sudden and extremely violent storms that the Sea of Galilee is known for. With no weather service in those days to give boats on the Sea of Galilee warnings of approaching bad weather, storms on the Sea of Galilee came out of the blue with terrifying suddenness. The Sea of Galilee is a deep and wide gorge, 680 feet below sea level. A warm and humid climate results from such geography. On the west side of the gorge, there are mountains with valleys descending to the sea. When a cold front approaches from the northwest and the hot, humid air over the sea begins to rise, these valleys act as funnels through which the cold air rushes down upon the sea with great ferocity. The rushing cold wind creates enormous waves, and these waves break over the boats and threaten to sink them. It's a terrifying and often deadly experience. Jesus and his disciples were caught in one of these terrible storms. For a number of days before this, Jesus had been preaching and healing on the west side of the sea. He often preached from the boat with the listening crowd sitting on the sloping shore of the Sea of Galilee. Then, after several days of preaching, he told the disciples to take the boat to the other side of the sea. There were other boats sailing along with them. And while they were sailing, Jesus, weary from teaching all those days, fell asleep on a seat in the stern, which even today on the Sea of Galilee it is still the custom to have a carpet and a cushion for distinguished passengers. And then the storm hit. Huge waves, much bigger than a boat. They began crashing into the boat. The boat was filling with water and would begin sinking at any moment. The disciples knew they were in grave danger of drowning. Jesus, however, slept through it all. The disciples, fearing for their lives, woke Jesus up and shouting above the howling of the storm, they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased. The sea became calm. Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still not have any faith?" The disciples were filled with great awe. They asked one another, "Who is this then that even the wind and the seas obey him?" It was beginning to dawn on them who Jesus really was, that he was God, walking around on earth in a human body of flesh and blood. For only God could make storm winds cease and calm a sea of 25-foot high breaking waves. Furthermore, they had already seen Jesus heal lots of people, some whom he healed or mentioned by name, such as Peter's mother-in-law, whom Jesus had healed of a fever. They had seen him heal a man's withered hand. They had seen him heal a paralyzed man who could not walk, but who at Jesus' command stood up and began walking. Being only humans, however, they had not yet come to realize that Jesus was the Son of God and that God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three, and yet only one. Isaiah had foretold that God the Son would come to earth and suffer and die our sins. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Matthew, who was in that boat when that storm hit, wrote years later, quoting Isaiah. Isaiah, who lived centuries before Jesus, had also foretold about Jesus' death, writing, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." It was not until Jesus had died on the cross, had risen from the dead, that they began to understand fully who Jesus was and that he had come to earth to die for us. Earlier, however, when they had just begun to be disciples of Jesus, they did not have the faith and understanding they had 3 years later, after being with him much longer and after experiencing his death on the cross and their meetings with him after he rose from the dead. 3 years earlier, they had wondered if he cared that they were perishing in a storm at sea. Now, because he had died for them on the cross, they knew that he is with us when troubles come, that he is not asleep, that he does know what is happening, and that he does care. Jesus cares so much about us that he became one of us, a real flesh and blood human being. As a human being, he went through all that we go through, even death, in order to free us from death and bring us everlasting life. Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Before ascending, he gave us this promise: "Lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." Many years went by. About 30 years went by. And the Apostle Peter was in Rome. The Christians in Rome were going through a terrible storm, a storm of terrible persecution for being Christians. They were being thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. They were being burned at the stake at parties that mad Emperor Nero was holding at his palace. Nero sadistically referred to those Christians burning at the stake as candles lighting up his parties. Peter told those persecuted Christians about the time he and the other disciples had been in the boat with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee when that terrible storm had come up, and how Jesus had calmed the storm. Hearing how Jesus had calmed the storm was a great comfort to the persecuted Christians of Rome. They knew that Jesus was with them in this storm that they were going through. And that was a great comfort to them. They knew that Jesus was with them, and that he would rescue them and take them to be with him in heaven. Their faith that Jesus had risen from the dead and that he would also raise them up and give them eternal life with them to die calmly, but enabled them to die calmly and with great courage. And people were amazed at the calmness and courage and faith that they died with. And it caused many people who witnessed those deaths to become believers in Jesus. They came to believe that he was with these people and had risen from the dead, and he gave them the ability to die with such faith and calmness and courage. And so instead of wiping out the Christians, the persecutions caused the church to grow in members. And ever since then, we have had this saying: the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The account of Jesus stilling the storm is a great comfort to us. It tells us that if we have Jesus in the boat with us, he will help us with our problems. So let us prayerfully invite Jesus into life's boat with us. Let us remember each morning when we get up that Jesus would like to be in the boat with us. So let's ask him in the morning with prayer to help us to be with us and help us throughout the day. Let's ask him to help us be kind to others, throughout the day and to live by His commandments than the way we treat others. We will not have any success in living by His commandments unless we have Him in the boat with us, helping us. People discover that when we remember to start the day with prayer, the day goes better. Dealing with difficult people even goes better. We should also pray at the end of the day, asking God to forgive us for our failures during the day, and ask Him to help us do better the next day and to be with us during the night. We all know that we can have little storms on any day. Remember that Jesus is in the boat and He's there to help you. And let Him help you. It is also inevitable that big storms will occur during periods of our lives. In Psalm 50, the Lord says, "Call upon Me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." St. Paul writes, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." What we know from the account of Jesus stilling the storm is that Jesus is in the boat with us. He knows what's going on. He cares about us, and He will help. Finally, facing a terminal illness is the final storm, and sometimes can be the worst storm that one might ever experience. I learned something about people facing terminal illness during my first year at the Lutheran Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. I was assigned to do field work with Pastor Kenneth Hewitt at Reformation Lutheran Church. This was not an internship. It only required being at the church on Sundays and one weekday afternoon per week. I did things such as teach first-year confirmation class, help with the Luther League, serve as a liturgist or a lector at the Sunday service, and go with the pastor on pastoral calls so he could teach me how to do that. One afternoon, Pastor Hewitt invited me to go to the hospital with him to see a member. He told me, he said, "This man has terminal tuberculosis." Well, I'm 86 years old, and that was a long, long time ago, and they didn't have the stuff for tuberculosis then that they have now. So it's very seldom a terminal illness anymore, but it was back then. It could be back then. And this man was dying from tuberculosis. But Pastor Hewitt says, "He's a special person. I think you will find it a great blessing to meet him." The man was having difficulty breathing because of his illness, but he wanted to share with me what God had done for him in this final ordeal that he was going through. He told me that he had never let God into his life very much until he got this final illness. And learning that he had a terminal illness, however, had frightened him so much that he began to turn to God in prayer and to read the Scriptures. "I have come to know God through prayer and reading Scriptures," he said. "Because I turned to Him, He was able to help me through this illness. He has given me strength to go through this illness. He has given me forgiveness. He has given me the assurance of eternal life in His kingdom." Finally, this man said something very surprising. He said, if I had never gotten this illness, I would never have gotten to know God, and I would never have gotten all these blessings. Therefore, I thank God for my illness. I thank God for my illness. Jesus is with us in life's boat. Jesus cares. Jesus helps. Jesus stills the storms in our lives. St. Paul, who went through all kinds of storms, wrote this. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not give us all things with him? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes. Who was raised from the dead? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers nor things, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.